Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live on this Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. Outside of week number one of this NFL season, there's still a lot more happening across the sports landscape. Really, the home stretch of this Major League Baseball season, with each and every day, each and every game for teams in the hunt for October having ramifications on that playoff race, whether it's a divisional title chase or a spot in the wild card standings. We start with Major League Baseball. It's the fall series on the PGA Tour. At least that's what they tell me. Keith Stewart joins us up next for some PGA Tour plays. We'll take an early look at week number two around the National Football League here on the early line. And of course, some college football conversations entering the week three Saturday slate, and really the best game of the weekend coming Friday night as well. All of that, Joe Ranieri, over these next 2 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, and I mean, it's you think about it here, Ben, we're a week and a half in to September, and really the next 2 months, total pandemonium, especially with the postseason coming up for Major League Baseball. We actually have meaningful games at the end of a long regular season, which is exactly what Manfred and company wanted, and here we are. We got it.
Everybody involved, it would seem now, and let's start with what we saw yesterday, just a 9-game slate on a Monday around MLB. Every team, less than 20 games remains over these next 2.5 weeks or so down the home stretch of the MLB season. For the New York Yankees, they're going to be a playoff team. For the Kansas City Royals, KC is also more than likely going to be a playoff team in the American League. But what we have to figure out is the divisional race in the American League East. The Yanks and the O's entered Monday, separated by just a half game for that top spot. The Pinstripes in front of the Orioles, thanks to double-digit runs yesterday and a victory to open up the midweek set inside Yankee Stadium. New York extends that advantage. Booked as a minus 184 home money line favorite, a total of 8.5, skies over. The Pinstripes, a big victory. 10 runs yesterday, 4 RBIs accounted for by Austin Wells, including what was a 3-run home run midway through the game that gave the Yanks the lead for good. 4 RBIs off the bat of Austin Wells. Jason Dominguez, the young star, at least the young promising prospect for New York, called up yesterday, 1-for-4, scoring a run as well. The Yanks open up their series this week against Kansas City with a 10-4 win.
Yeah, that home run by Wells, 404, 405 feet, was an absolute bomb. That's seven home runs in his last 37 games here. So, yeah, that's always been the problem with the Yankees, right? We know Soto, we know Judge, good to go. Can anybody else step up? Hello? Anybody else give us enough production in order to carry it? The good news is the Yankees, with that win last night, Ben, actually surpassed their win total from a year ago. Is that success, or is anything short of a World Series championship just utter failure for the Yankees. I think it's going to be fascinating as Baltimore seems to run out of steam here a little bit. And why not with that pitching staff? But it's going to be interesting to see if the Yankees can keep this rolling over the final 2.5 weeks of the season into the postseason.
Make that 83 wins for the New York Yankees, 83 and 61. Also, not just a game and a half in front of Baltimore, as the O's got trounced yesterday in Fenway. Ooh. It's been a struggle for the young rookie left-hander Cade Povich, who probably would not be starting games if Baltimore's starting staff was healthier than it has been. Grayson Rodriguez, Zach Eflin still on the shelf right now for the Orioles. But Rob Refsnyder and Tyler O'Neill both hitting two home runs last night in Fenway for Boston. The Red Sox win 12-3. The O's back by a game and a half, but still the top spot in the American League wild card chase. How about the other New York team? That would be the Mets rallying up in the six against the Blue Jays. A road favorite was New York at -130. Total of 8.5 stays well under. The Mets had their 9-game win streak snapped on Sunday against Cincinnati, but make it 10 victories in the last 11 for the Amazons. A couple of pitching woes for Toronto in the eighth that allow a couple of runs to score off a wild pitch and a pass ball. The Mets come back to win 3-2 over the Jays.
And they did it with, you know, spot starter with Tyler McGill, retired his last 16. I think he struck out 9 in that game. You know, that is a huge effort with the Mets, who could easily have, you know, lost 3 or 4 after such a big win streak, man. We've seen that a million times. I mean, these aren't frontline starters the Mets are rolling out and winning with. But you know what? They're stepping up when it matters the most. And that, unfortunately, for other teams, is the, and we've seen Arizona do it. We saw Philadelphia ride it right through. We've seen Atlanta. Could the Mets be that team that is playing its best baseball at the right time?
The Mets were bad in the first 2+ months of this Major League Baseball season, but the proud organization responds in June. The Grimace Mets, they were 16-8, 17-10 in July, but got off to a sluggish start in August, just 4-7. But since August 13th, Joe, with the victory yesterday, the Mets are now 18-7, and they've got 10 wins in their last 11 games. So New York comes back to beat Toronto in a 1-game makeup yesterday in Atlanta between the Braves and the Reds. The Braves shut out at home, 1-0. Ty France hit an RBI double in the second. That's all Atlanta, or that's all Cincinnati would need, and Atlanta did not need, as they only had 2 hits yesterday offensively. So the Braves shut out by the Reds. The Mets win up in the six. The New York Mets now a 1-game lead for the third and final National League wild card spot for the first time in a long time. The Braves fall out of a playoff picture in the National League.
And it would be if this if it ended and that's the way it goes and that's the order, that would be the first time we've seen the, have not had the Braves in the postseason since what, 2017? It's been, we don't realize it, Ben, but it's been forever since Atlanta wasn't a postseason staple. And yet here we are. I mean, listen, you get shut out by Nick Martinez. Shame on you. Just absolutely at home. Shame on you, Atlanta.
Yep, absolutely so. Nick Martinez, great. 2 hits, shutout baseball, 7 innings of work for Cincinnati. So just a 1-game makeup for Atlanta and Cincy, who also play in Cincinnati next week. So wondering why they scheduled this one here at the end of July. But really, that National League wild card race and that third and final spot could come down to a series that starts exactly 2 weeks from today in the ATL. That's the Braves and the Mets. They've already played 10 games this year. Their final series against one another is 2 weeks. It's the second to last series for both clubs, and they have split the 10 games. 5 wins for the Mets, 5 wins for the Braves. As of right now, New York maintains that 1-game lead for the third and final spot in the National League wild card chase. And with both the D-backs and the Padres cooling off a little bit, as was to be expected, the Mets aren't even all that far back now of Arizona for the second wild card spot around the NL. The Pittsburgh Pirates, unfortunately, are not going to contend for a National League wildcard spot. And that's why Skeens Days in the history of Major League Baseball lack a little bit of luster. But yesterday, historic, the 20th Skeens Day in the history of MLB, Skeens Day XX. The Buccos nearly a $3 favorite at home against the Miami Marlins. And Paul Skeens, great once again. Six innings of work, only allowing a single earned run in striking out nine. He is now 10-2 this year, Joe, with a 2.10 ERA. But the Pirates just 13-23 since the start of August. PGA Tour plays even in the fall. Up next on the Earthline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The PGA Tour Fall Series starts this week in wine country up in Northern California, Napa, California. So Keith Stewart joins us here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Keith, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here as always on TEL.
Ben, Joe, good morning. Hey, Joe, congratulations. The Louisville police just called. They called me and they said, thank God that the Miami-Dade police have done such a good job because now they're suddenly off the hook as far as arresting superstars in the sports world.
Always a confusing time when that happens.
Yes.
So, Keith, let's look at where things are before we dive into the fall series with what we saw at the end of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Scottie Scheffler, unlike the previous two seasons, does triumph at Eastlake. 30 under par, of course, with the starting strokes included as the FedEx Cup champion this year in 2024. A green jacket, seven PGA Tour victories. We discussed, Keith, of course, how things would be in the competition for the PGA Tour Golfer of the Year between Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele. You add in a gold medal for Scottie as well. Is Scottie Scheffler the PGA Tour Player of the Year in 2024?
Well, Ben, there's without a doubt that he has earned that right this year. He's had a historic year, and I think that becomes now part of the conversation. After winning the FedEx Cup and taking home the $25 million prize and basically cementing himself as the golfer of 2024, it's like, okay, well, where does this year compare to the great years of Tiger Woods that we saw in the early 2000s? And that's more of the conversation that I think that we're going to be having this fall once Scottie is actually designated the PGA Tour Player of the Year and the players get their votes in. But it's an exciting time for the PGA Tour because the fall becomes part of limbo. The top 50 in the FedEx Cup points that made it all the way to Denver when I was back out there, those guys are set. Their numbers are set in stone. But the rest in the top 125 have eight events this fall with which to gain a spot and their 2025 card. And we start this week out in Napa at the Pro Core Championship.
And we know, Keith, in years past, we were talking that you've got a couple of Wyndham Clark. You've got Sahith Theegala, I think, is the favorite. But or Max Homa as well as another name who obviously has not been playing well. Let me start with this. What under wins this tournament? Because this feels like a birdie fest USA, no?
Oh, there's no doubt about that, Joe. Par 72 scorecard measuring just a little over 7,100 yards with four par fives. The average winning score over the last 5 years is 19 under par. The last 10 winners have averaged somewhere in the ballpark of 24 subpar scores over 72 holes. So, you know, a third of the holes that they're going to play, they're going to make birdie or better on. So, and at the length that these guys are going to play, we have nine par fours of the 10. They're under 435 yards. These guys drive the ball 300 yards in the air. That's a wedge to attack all of these holes. And if you look historically at the guys that have played well here, not just Sahith Theegala, who's defending champion, but then the 2 years before that, Max Homa. When Max was in the prime of his playing ability, right, he was driving the ball in play all the time, and he is a super good putter, very opportunistic. So he hits it close with a wedge, and he makes a ton of birdies, and that's why he was such a good fit here. Now, Max has got a lot on his plate right now. He's the last captain selection for this President's Cup team, and those matches happen in 2 weeks. There's six guys here that are in the matches that are competing in the Pro Core Championship, and in Theegala, Wyndham Clark, Max Homa, these guys at the top of the board, Corey Connors, I get the feeling that as we talk about, you know, the favorites and everything, I'm going to look past those guys because overall, I think they have to be, especially Thigala, even as the defending champ. It's his first time going to one of these matches. It's his first President's Cup for Wyndham Clark. Yes, he went to Rome last year for the Ryder Cup. You know, Max Homa's got a lot on his plate. He's just switched coaches. I mean, these guys, I'm going to skip past the President's Cup guys when I look at the Pro Corps, you know, kind of early leans, and I'm definitely going to be looking further down the board when we get to that point.
Just over 2 weeks away, the 2024 President's Cup up in Montreal between Team USA and the international team as well. We'll talk about that in a few weeks' time. So, Keith, you mentioned looking deeper down the board. Can always be a time during the fall series on the PGA Tour to find some big plus money prices. Who gets your attention?
Well, you know what? Over the last 10 years, the average pre-tournament odds of the winners have been somewhere around 90 to 1 or plus 9,000. So we got to look a little bit deeper down the board. Oh, yeah. So there's one guy that we've been talking about a couple times off and on, whether it was Golf Wednesday or with you guys on Tuesday morning, and that's JJ Spaun. Back in Minnesota at the 3M, top 10, ninth. He was on nobody's radar, and we were playing him at Read the Line. A week later, he goes to the Wyndham, and he comes in third. Now, he didn't make the playoffs because he had a nice run toward the end of his season, but he's still hitting the ball great. Over his last five starts, he's gaining over seven strokes against the field, and he sits right at that 40-to-1 mark, that plus 4,000. Now, as we start talking about him here on Sports Grid, that number is going to drop, so I would jump after him early. He's definitely one of my early leans on the early line. The other guy, speaking of fours, fourth place last year here at the Pro Corps Championship, Eric Cole, and he's been a little hot lately. Now, his big peccadillo is getting the ball in play off the tee. You don't have to hit driver everywhere here at the Silverado Resort on the North Course, which they play this tournament and have since 2014. So it definitely favors Cole, who's an excellent wedge player and an unbelievable putter and scorer. Guy makes a ton of subpar scores, and that's why he was fourth here last year. He's sitting at plus 4,500. So those two are very good early leans on the early line.
Got to ask you, Keith, what I always say about the old guys, right? And the old guys have been showing up over the last couple of tournaments here. So does Kuchar, does Webb Simpson, how far can we go with the old guys in this one?
I mean, you can go as far as you want. The captain of the International President's Cup team, Mike Weir, he's even here teeing it up. I mean, this guy doesn't have something to do in 2 weeks. I mean, it's crazy. But you know what? When it comes to the fall, these guys, if they slide, you know, if they pull off a couple top tens and they slide into that top 125, they get their status for 2025. I know a lot of this doesn't amongst football and everything else, you know, what's going on. But those guys that sit between 50 and 150 on the points list, this is a big deal for the next 3 months. Yep. And you know what? We're going to see some great golf along the way.
Keith Stewart, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here on this Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. We'll talk in a few weeks, getting ready for the President's Cup as well. Divisional races, playoff races, and MLB next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The playoff picture around Major League Baseball, outside of the National Football League, it is our focus. The October stretch run here to end out September. Again, less than 20 games remain for every club around Major League Baseball. About 17, 18 games left for most teams. We start, Joe, in the National League and what the postseason outlook is as of this moment. Now, the Dodgers have the best record alongside the Philadelphia Phillies. The Phils walking it off yesterday. Thank you, Cody Clemens. The Dodgers actually got beat at home by the Chicago Cubs 10-4 despite Shohei Ohtani stealing another base. So that's the battle for the top spot in the National League that we'll look at in just a moment. But we expect both LA and Philadelphia to earn the opening round bye into the division series. That was not always the case, but Milwaukee has trailed off a little bit. Both LA and Philadelphia, 3.5 games clear of the Brew Crew. The most compelling component, though, of the National League playoff picture, not the division races where every divisional leader is up substantially, It's that wild card chase. The Padres and the D-backs in front, and now the Mets, a full game up on the Atlanta Braves for that third and final spot. But the Mets not all that far behind either San Diego or Arizona, the three teams that occupy the three wild card positions at this moment, Ranieri, separated all by just a game and a half.
It's kind of crazy, and I will remind everyone what we watched a year ago, Ben, with Arizona, where, hey, none of us were talking about the Diamondbacks, and then slowly but surely in the August and September, they were the hottest team in Major League Baseball, and they rode that right to a National League championship here while other teams kind of ran out of gas and the injury started to catch up with them. It feels like the Padres, the Diamondbacks, and the Mets are doing just that, and it feels like the teams that are already at the top of the their division leaderboards, they might be worried about injuries, or even better yet, maybe slowing out of steam and played their best baseball, Ben, already. They played it back in May and June and July and not now. So I think it's going to be absolutely wild.
So what's really fascinating, the Padres and the Diamondbacks, by far the two hottest teams following the All-Star break. Up until August 25th, Arizona was 26-8 from the All-Star break in August. Up until August 27th, the Padres were 26-9 since the All-Star break back in Arlington. Now, they've cooled off just a little bit, at least by those relative standards. The Padres, in their last 11 games, are 5-6. Oh, man, they're a game below 500. In the last 11 games for Arizona, they're 4-7. Again, they are going to be playoff teams more than likely. But with Atlanta behind New York by only a game for the third and final spot, and now with the Mets and the D-backs and the Padres separated by only a game and a half, all four of those teams just a 2.5 game distinction for the three wild card positions. Ranieri, there was a thought earlier this summer, or at least before we got to September, that we would see the Padres and the D-backs well clear of whoever won that third and final National League wild card spot. Now they're not separated by all that much.
Yeah, it's coin flip down the stretch, isn't it, here? But as good as you mentioned it, after the All-Star break, the Padres and Arizona have been, the Mets team might just have them beat by the time we get to the end of the regular season. I don't particularly think it's going to be close. I think the Mets could very well, the way the schedule lines up, is it hard to think that they're the number one wild card team when it's all said and done? Because I don't think that is. I don't think the Cubs are done as far as I'm concerned. So it's a matter of who wins the top wild card spot. I would not be shocked if it's the Mets.
Yeah, the Cubbies still 5 games back of New York for what would be that third and final spot. All of the division prices around the National League are off the FanDuel Sportsbook because of the substantial advantages the Dodgers, the Brewers, and the Phillies have. You mentioned the Braves, who have made the postseason every year since 2017 in MLB. Every year has been via winning the National League East. More than likely, their 6-season streak of winning the division comes to a close. What is really interesting as well is the top spot in the National League. The Dodgers, a minus 220 favorite, despite having the same exact record as the Phillies right now. But in the season series, 6 matchups between these two teams, it was all Philadelphia. They won 5 of 6. The tiebreaker could lead to home field advantage throughout the NL playoff picture. More around the American League comes your way next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
From the National League to the AL, the playoff picture in the American League, live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on SportsGrid. All season long, all summer long, all September long, it would seem, Joe Ranieri, the most fascinating battle in terms of playoff positioning in the AL, who's going to win the American League East? When the Yankees started to stumble, the Orioles never took advantage. And that's still where things are for Baltimore. They trail the Yanks by a game and a half now for that top spot in the American League East Division. The Yankees winning yesterday, 10-4 at home over Kansas City. Baltimore getting blown out in Boston by the Red Sox. The Sox winning 12-3 in the final in Fenway. So now a game and a half lead for the Yankees atop the American League East. And a full game in front of the Guardians for the Yankees for what is the best record in the AL. The Yankees a game and a half lead in the American League East. The Guardians up by 3.5 in the American League Central. And the Astros still a four-game lead in the American League West. The Mariners not necessarily out of it at this moment, as we are only three games back for Seattle and Detroit and Boston, who's not on that list of the third and final American League wildcard spot, as the Twins are on a little bit of a slide right now, riding a four-game skid.
Yeah, and this is going to be kind of the best of the rest, right? I mean, the Guardians had such a great first half, Ben, and yeah. We've seen teams do this before where they've had Philadelphia did it in the National League here. They had such successful first halves, took advantage of easy schedules, and they're kind of riding that to the end. The Guardians have not been good since the All-Star break either here, but you mentioned it. The Twins didn't start great. They seem to have figured it out, but injuries continue to be a concern there. The Royals, quite honestly, have been the most consistent team of any of them in that division, which is kind of laughable. I think Baltimore, two things have happened, the injuries with the pitching staff, and they have somewhere along the line morphed into a home run or bust type team that never wins in the postseason. And I think that very young, very inexperienced, Baltimore is going to be around over the next couple of years, like it or not. But this year, I think it's the Yankees to lose the American League East as well as the American League pennant.
When you look at the odds right now in the American League East division, minus 260 for New York, plus 200 for Baltimore. The two will end the season, at least in their second to last set, against one another. And that could also decide who earns the top overall seed in the American League as well, because the Yankees are a minus 190 favorite to be the number one seed in the AL. The Guardians plus 310, but Baltimore still has life in that market, Joe, at plus 390.
Yeah, listen, anything that we it's so funny for the Yankees being in first place, having one of the best records, right, in Major League Baseball. Doesn't it feel like they have been the most up and down, inconsistent team that we have? And I think all of that stems from which Aaron Judge and which Soto show up, and do they show up together? Because you're not beating the Yankees. But if they don't, the Yankees are very beatable with that pitching staff, unfortunately.
So when you look at the season series between these two teams, it was all Baltimore to start. They won five of the first seven. Recently, they played right before the All-Star break when the O's could have ran away, it seemed, with the American League East against a slumping New York team, and the Yanks rallied to win two of those three games. So the Orioles still have the season series advantage at this moment. They've won 6 of 10. And again, the second to last set of the year between these two sides in the Bronx, inside Yankee Stadium, to end out their second to last series of this season. How critical will that set be? There is no doubt, though, Joe, the team that loses the American League East is going to factor into the postseason race. The Orioles three games in front of the Royals, who are now 2.5 games in front of Minnesota. The Twins on a four-game slide. Again, they still have a three-game cushion in front of the Mariners, in front of the Red Sox, who have not been great since the All-Star break. But how about that? Those Detroit Tigers? If you want some optimism for a team that is under year number two of the management of A.J. Hinch, with a guy who is going to run away with the American League Cy Young Award in Tarek Skubal, in some exciting young bats, Riley Green, Matt Vierling, some others there for Detroit, this Tigers team, Joe, they've won 18 of their last 26 games, 18-8 since August 10th, because on August the 10th, suffering yet another loss, Detroit was eight games below 500 at 55-63, now two games north of that winning mark at 73-71. Is there any chance the Tigers, the Mariners, the Red Sox could rally here with less than 20 games remaining in this MLB campaign to storm all the way back and earn a playoff bid.
Listen, you got to give them credit, Ben. Go back even further. Since July 1st, they're 35-25. That's the best record in the American League alongside the Houston Astros. Now, the Astros, it helped the Astros in that division, obviously, to claw their way to the top here. But it's put Detroit, what, three games out now of that wild card spot? And if that's going to keep happening, if they're going to make this push, then their team ERA over this since August 1st, Ben, has been the best in Major League Baseball. The pitching has been over the top, led by Tarik Skubal. The bullpen has been absolutely outstanding. If you get great pitching down the stretch and you still have those young hitters being able to drive in runs like they have been doing, and this isn't an anomaly, Ben. It's not like they've gone over in a nice seven-game stretch here. They've been doing it since July 1st, and nobody seems to have noticed. If the pitching holds up, the Tigers are very much in play for a wild card spot.
It would be crazy to see that rally out of Detroit. Mm-hmm. It would be a very fun thing. The Astros, by the way, a hefty favorite to win the American League West. They have a 4.5-game lead in front of the Mariners. Seattle has won 4 of its last 5 to make it respectable. But Houston, since the All-Star break, 27-20, they have just kept pace in front of the M's. Minus 3,000, the price on the Astros. So, Joe, let's go big picture. We compare the two top teams in the American League East that for most of this MLB season had the two best prices to win the American League pennant. But now the Astros have moved in front of the O's by 20 cents. They're a dollar behind the pinstripes. The Yankees plus 220, the Astros plus 320, the Orioles plus 340. The Yankees, of course, have failed to win an American League pennant since their last World Series in 2009. The Astros, a very different story. They have at least played in the American League Championship Series 7 consecutive seasons, even after the cheating scandal came to a close. You said the Yankees are atop the American League. Who is that team you think would rival the Yanks for the pennant right now?
Well, yeah, you have to go Houston, not because I think this is an exceptional Houston team. I think Houston has a little bit of luck rolling in them that they're stuck in a division in which everyone else, they're the best of the rest is really how I put Houston here. They're winning despite of themselves here. But that experience matters, Ben, this time of year. They understand what it takes. Just get into the playoffs, right? And then anything can happen. They know how to win a short series. They know what this is all about. So from an experience standpoint, yeah, I would favor them over the Orioles here. And then would we all be shocked if it came down to Houston and the Yankees? I don't think we'd be shocked at all.
Wouldn't that be a very fun time? A rematch of the American League Championship Series from a few years back in the ALCS once again between the Astros and the Yanks. Quickly here, Ranieri, any of the three teams more than likely from the AL Central that will get into the postseason you could see making a run, or if you had to pick one of them?
I don't see any. The only one would be the Guardians because of the bullpen. I don't trust either of the other two. They don't have the pitching.
Listen, I love the Royals. They've already gone over their preseason win total that I bet at 73.5. So they have my heart, but I kind of agree with you. College football conversations next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
3 weeks down in the college football season in 2024, including week 0, 2 full Saturdays of the entire country getting involved, also in the book. So now that we enter week number 3, midway through September, where are the odds in college football in the chase for a national championship? Georgia, the preseason favorite, they've seen their price shorten exactly by 10 cents. Plus 280 before the year got started, now plus 270. Ohio State had the second best price, still the same case at plus 350. but Texas has moved forward at a plus 550 number, third best number around the country. Part of that is the Longhorns' dominance in Ann Arbor on Saturday afternoon. Part of it is Oregon struggling to start this year. The Ducks now tied for the fourth best price alongside Alabama at 11-1. Joe, we'll look at Georgia and Ohio State, who have been pretty good this year. Georgia, a test on paper against Clemson and ran them out the building in Atlanta week number one. But let's start with the two biggest movers, Texas moving forward, Oregon moving back. How much are you buying into Texas after what they did to the reigning national champs in Michigan on Saturday in the Big House?
Well, I mean, listen, we knew the talent was there offensively. I think what we're underestimating with Texas and what people need to realize is that's a real defense. Ben, that to go there and to do what they did, and I don't care that it's rebuilding, make whatever excuses you want for the offense of Michigan. It is never easy going on the road. You know what wins on the road? Great defenses. And that defense showed up and showed out. And I don't think we give them enough credit because of who the coach is and Sark and what they do offensively with Quinn Ewers and others. But the reality is, if Texas is going to make a run at this, it's going to be the defense that's going to be a much bigger catalyst in it than it's necessarily going to be the offense, because that defense is going to have to win them some games, tough games coming up on this schedule, and I think they can.
When you really look at what Texas did on Saturday, what impressed me the most was not Quinn Ewers in the offense with all the tools at his disposal. Yep. It was that defense for the Longhorns. Fourth best rushing defense in the country, allowing less than 81 yards per game a season ago. But part of that was the two NFL draft picks they had in the middle, Byron Murphy, T'Vondre Sweat. And both of those guys gone to the National Football League. How would they replicate that success in the interior against a Michigan team that the entire handicap for a lot of people, Joe, was could Michigan slow down the game, keep it under 41.5, use that downhill rushing attack that had been the staple of Sharon Moore offenses? Because he is now the head coach, we almost forget he was the offensive coordinator under Jim Harbaugh and the O-line coach that put together great and dominant offensive lines that over the past 3 years that resulted in three consecutive Big Ten titles, college football playoff berths, and of course last year a national championship, took it to teams, bullied teams. The idea was, could Texas answer the call? Not only did they answer, they brought the fight to Michigan. They held the Wolverines to 3.6 yards per carry, only 82 yards on the ground. That Texas defense is the difference. So now that brings us to Oregon. The Ducks on paper should have got this year started in flying colors. FCS foe in Idaho inside Autzen Stadium score 70. They score 24, winning by 10, only having a 3-point lead early in the fourth quarter, coming nowhere close to covering as a 7-touchdown favorite. All right, odds makers expected the resilience of Dan Lanning in the Ducks week number 2 in Eugene against the reigning Mountain West champs in Boise State, a Boise State team that allowed a lot of points against Georgia Southern in the opener. Could they even keep it closer than 3 touchdowns? The odds makers and the betting public expected Oregon to win comfortably. Oregon needed a walk-off field goal as time expired to win 37-34, and Ashton Gentry is still running up and down the sidelines inside Autzen. Joe, what is your concern level for this Oregon team that entered the Big Ten with the second-best price to win the conference and had the third-best number to reach the college football playoff, only behind the Buckeyes and the Georgia Bulldogs?
So where we were wrong with Oregon was not from a talent perspective, right? I think what we did not see coming was how not good they are in the trenches here, Ben.
Yeah.
We're talking, they're not good on third down. They're not good in the red zone. Dillon Gabriel has been pressured on almost 30% of his dropbacks. And when you look at who they've played, you better fix that in a hurry before you get to Big Ten play. But I'll tell you this, the schedule is favorable to them because they don't play USC. They don't play Penn State. They will be double-digit favorites in just about every game except for Ohio State and at Michigan. But quite honestly, I don't think Michigan can score on any quality team, including Oregon here. Right. So they are going to be double-digit favorites throughout the way except for that Ohio State game. They have to figure out what's going on the offensive line. They better figure that out in a hurry. Otherwise, they're going to get caught in Big Ten play.
Oregon in 2023 allowed 5 sacks. It was the fewest amount, yep, unsurprisingly, at the FBS level. Only Liberty, who allowed 9 sacks. Those were the two programs that allowed less, yep, than double digits. Oregon allowed 5 sacks in all of 2023. That includes the Pac-12 title game. That includes, yep, the New Year's Six Bowl when they ran Liberty out of the ballpark, of course, as well. They have given up 7 sacks already in their first 2 yep games of 2024. 3 to Idaho, 4 last week against Boise State. And they've been getting gashed on the ground. Ashton Gentry over 200 yards and 3 touchdowns against Oregon on Saturday, where you thought the Michigan State transfer, Derek Harmon, Mateo Uiagalelei, yeah, that's DJU's younger brother, would anchor that D-line. It has been anything but. So how about a road trip to Corvallis to figure it out in the renewal of the Civil War against the spurned Oregon State Beavers, the Ducks, a 16.5-point favorite up in Corvallis, which is a house of horrors for many a team trying to win a football game, yep, outright. Plenty more in college football, including the Heisman Trophy race next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's continue to look in the national championship odds, the tier of 3 at the top, and everybody else that rounds out the top 10. Our reactions from the first 3 weeks, but the first 2 full weeks in college football. Again, Joe, the tier of 3 at the top. We've got 3 teams with a 3-digit price at less than 11-1, and Texas is half the next closest teams in Alabama and Oregon at an 11-1 price. You see, Texas now in the AP poll has vaulted past Ohio State based on the impressive performance in Ann Arbor, but the Buckeyes still a better national championship price and the best price of all 3 of these teams to reach the college football playoff. All 3, at least a $6 odds on favorite to get to the CFP. Will all 3 be in the college football playoff at the end of the season?
Yeah, it's going to be very hard not to see at least those 3 at the top end. Outside of somebody playing spoiler in there, but we all know what happens with Ohio State, right? It ultimately always comes down to Michigan, and I don't think they have to worry about beating Michigan this year. The only wild card in that Big Ten to me, Ben, is, and I'm shocked that nobody paid attention to him early, but they're paying attention to him now. And it's that little team on the bottom that you may call USC and Lincoln Riley. Mm. All of a sudden, now people are paying attention to Lincoln Riley and USC. Kind of absolutely crazy, isn't it, that it took this long for people to realize that Lincoln Riley's offenses can beat anybody, anywhere, anytime, in any conference? We're going to see if they're as good as we think they are soon.
8 years for Lincoln Riley as a head coach at the FBS level, 6 in Oklahoma, 2 now at USC completed. Yeah. This is year number 3, but all 8 seasons, his offenses have been top 10 in the country, 6 of the 8 years inside the top 5. And they pitched their first shutout against Utah State late on Saturday night inside Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum for the first time since 2011. That's the key for me when it comes to USC. Now let's go to the individual race that is the Heisman Trophy odds. We have a new favorite, Quinn Ewers. His price slashed in half and then some. 11-1 entering week number two, now 5-1. 246 yards, three touchdown tosses against the Maize in blue. He has stepped up in every significant game that Texas has played. Last year, Joe, five ranked opponents Quinn Ewers faced for Texas, threw for at least 317 yards, averaging 352 in those games, 10 touchdowns to four interceptions. Not 315 plus against Michigan, but against a really good secondary, getting close to 250 is a testament. And did not turn the football over. Clean football, three touchdowns. Is Quinn Ewers deserving, in your estimation, of being the Heisman Trophy frontrunner?
Yes, he can, but he's not going to win it. Okay. You know, but he can certainly go up there. If you want to make money in the Heisman market, get your money on Cam Ward now. Before it's too late, before it's not going to be worth betting him anytime. I mean, listen, Quinn Ewers, outstanding stuff, but we always seem to know what a Sark team in Texas, something is going to go wrong at some point. It usually does. But Cam Ward there in second spot, to me, is the guy that should be your front runner there, given the fact that the state of the ACC and how this lines up for Miami and the schedule and what they've got going. This is going to be a top three or four seed in the college football playoff, provided they understand clock management and Mario Cristobal doesn't get in the way. Otherwise, Cam Ward is going to cement himself, I think, in a couple of weeks as the favorite to win the Heisman.
Always a difficult thing for Mario Cristobal for this Hurricanes program that was 12-13 in his first 2 years. But now with how the ACC is playing out and how impressive they looked in the swamp, they are the favorites at +115 to win the ACC. Cam Ward did back up his 385 and three touchdown performance against Florida with more than 300 yards, three touchdowns in his first rushing score of the year for four total TDs against the best team from Tallahassee. That's Florida A&M on Saturday. Quinn Ewers has been really good. The statistical numbers are not overwhelming so far. Didn't have to do much against Colorado State. Texas has played two FBS foes to start this year, but he has been good in terms of those numbers. And what stands out to me is the 5-1 price to win the Heisman Trophy is actually shorter than Texas's number to win the national championship at +550. The name to know, though, of the Heisman Trophy odds, it's Ashton Jeanty, 28-1. The Heisman Trophy winner through 2 weeks of this college football season. Hour three, our third and final, comes your way up next.